get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime. Boom it. Get it and flip it, we did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of Ball Don't Lie. We are here. Episode 167. I can't believe we've done this many episodes of this fucking podcast. But we are here, you guys, Scott and Dante. You know, to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershed Scott, at October's on Tay. Follow the Barbers Chat Network at Barbers Chat Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barbers Chat Network. Visit the site, thebcnet.com. The Barbers Chair store will be coming soon. And before we start everything off, I want to give this time to say RIP to Takeoff with Amigos, man. Definitely super tragic news. Really got my day started on the wrong fucking foot.
Yeah.
You know, I think I woke up at like 5:30 to use the bathroom, and I keep my phone on Do Not Disturb at night. And I got like a list. I don't know this, y'all gonna laugh at this. I have like a list of people who can get through. And it's you one of them. Anybody who works with the company, and you know, my other clients and family, and I got my landlord in there just in case the building on fire.
Right, exactly.
I don't want to miss that. So I checked my text and I see Thomas like, man, this nigga Takeoff did. I was like, what? So I checked Twitter. Man, I couldn't even go back to sleep after that. I was like, well, might as well get up and start my day, nigga.
Yeah, it was a sad day in the A, man. Definitely senseless, you know, and it lost a lot of, you know, already losing trouble a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So it's been a few Atlanta artists that have passed away. This Thug and Gunna in jail. It's
a rough time for them.
It's a rough time right now.
Rough time for them.
RIP to Takeoff, especially because according to the story, he wasn't doing shit. Bro was just there.
Yeah. And it's like I'm getting tired. Every time we get like a death, like people want to get on Twitter and say, like, well, you start being doing this and shit. Like, nah, man, like, shut the fuck up. Like, it shouldn't be anything but prayers out to his family, prayers out to Quavo Offset, because that is his family, his literal family. So prayers up to all of them, man. Keep them in your prayers. You know, we're gonna talk more about it on Summer Sessions this week. You know, we'll give our flowers to Takeoff, you know, and everybody out there, man. So definitely prayers out to his family. Busy day in general in the sports world. It was a crazy day from the jump. I don't know when the fuck the NFL trade deadline became like the NBA, but a lot of shit going down. You know, Chase Claypool is a Bear. We're going to get all that on 79th House. By the time you listen to this, that episode of 79th House will be out right now. So I have to say, check out episode 208, which is a trade deadline special. Me and Flo is going over everything. We'll talk about the other NFL trades on two-minute drill later this week. And of course, the Nets is happening with the Nets and things like that. But we're 2 weeks into this season. I've been watching a little bit. I haven't watched too much. What's your overall thoughts 2 weeks into the season so far?
I mean, often it's early.
Exactly.
We can say that. You know, there's been a lot of really good basketball being played. A lot of the teams that we hyped up, you know, they haven't really been playing well. Like I said, being down here in Atlanta, the Hawks, they've been a little bit disappointing. You know, Trey shooting percentages are in the toilet. Man. Nobody want to talk about that. But as I said, still early. But like you said, it's been a lot of slow starts. And then now with the Steve Nash thing, I think we really finally see, like, that was the first domino that was going to fall in that situation anyway. As much as we talk about moving KD, moving Kyrie, it was going to be Steve Nash to be the first one to bow out there. So,
yeah.
And I'm shocked.
It's also one of them things where, you know, when they said it was mutual, I've never heard of a mutual firing.
Yeah.
So I can pretty much guess this was like a firing, but at the same time, it was kind of like, yeah, I'm fine with this.
Yeah.
I ain't got to be around these crazy motherfuckers anyway.
Like, what's my compensation? All right, let's go.
Exactly.
I'll head back north to the border. I don't give a fuck.
I go out here and chill and shit like that. But, you know what I'm saying? Let's just get right into it, man. So if you've been under a rock today, well, yesterday, because I forgot this be dropping on Wednesday. Pretty much Steve Nash was fired, or, you know, resigned, whichever way you want to say.
Mutual separation.
Yeah, mutual separation. And Ime Udoka is 24 to 48 hours away from being the next Brooklyn Nets head coach. The Celtics are letting them walk, and they're not asking for any compensation. So by the time you hear this podcast, it might be 100% official already, but what we'll say within the next 24 to 48, Shams also reported that. So those who reported, you pretty much understand it's a dumb fucking deal. Now, here's my personal opinion. We're going to get into Kyrie too. And I don't even want to talk about Kyrie, but my esteemed podcast partner and president of this great company that you're listening to.
We kind of have to.
So, you know, I'm going to let him lead that conversation when we get to it. But as far as Udoka, first of all, Steve Nash should have never gotten the job to fucking begin with. And this just shows you just the mess that is the Brooklyn Nets. And also a mess that's been created by Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, because these are two guys who both wanted Steve Nash. And let's not forget about the quote that Kyrie said, we can really coach ourselves. So that's why I was against KD this offseason when he wanted to leave, because it's like, nigga, you the one who wanted this situation. You asked for it like this. You asked for the coach. You wanted all these players. You asked for DeAndre Jordan, nigga. They gave it to you. They gave KD everything he wanted. And now when it's not working out, you want to act like it's the fucking ownership fault in the front office fault. And I'm the first nigga to blame the front office and ownership with anything in sports. But in this situation, that was not the fucking case. So Steve Nash should never been hired to fucking begin with. Was he the main problem? No. But he was one of the main problems. I always say he was a vibe curator. He was never a coach. That nigga, I could have did what Steve Nash did. You get in the huddle and I just tell Kyrie and KD, shoot. That's basically the offense we've been seeing the Nets run, you know, since he took over. So, and as far as Ime Udoka, there's a lot of ways we can go about this conversation.
I don't ever want to hear you niggas talk about Roger Goodell again. Don't you fucking do it. Don't you fucking do it. I hate y'all, but the NBA is the league with the, you know, they got it going. They get it. They understand. They are full of shit just like everybody else.
They but you know why I respect Roger Goodell in the NFL? They know they're not shit. They don't claim to be shit, and they double down on not being shit.
And they say, you love this product, you're going to still buy this product, so have a nice day. Like, but for the NBA, this is nasty. Like, this is fucking nasty. And, like, Matt Barnes, he may never coach again. Wrong. Nigga got a job 2 months later. Like,
nigga ran the Vlad TV, bro. Being an extreme chatty patty.
Bro, it was, and Gaston, man, said, man, if it's what I heard, if it's what I saw, but they told me he'll never coach again. This nigga about to be up the block coaching in the league. Gee, like, this is a joke.
Now, let's be clear. We don't know 100% what happened. Of course, the story, that as much story we know, that he slept with a wife or a girlfriend of one of the team VPs. What I think happened, he slept with the owner's wife or a high value member of the front office's wife, because when I heard that they just letting this nigga walk and don't want no draft picks, that told me everything I need to know. They're like, just get this nigga out of here.
Keep this man away from my family. That's what they were trying to say. Like, when you start fucking with the people who cash 8-figure checks and they don't touch basketball, it's like, no, you fuck with the wrong people. Like, you tripping. Like, I'm not saying you should be hitting on anybody's wife, but he did what he did, and like you said,
definitely for them, not the niggas who signed your paycheck.
Yeah, for them to be saying, like, no, we're just gonna cash you out. You get it. Well, not even cash him out, but it's like, no, you just go ahead. Y'all can have him. Peace out. And this is a coach who was, did he win Coach of the Year last year?
No, Monty won Coach of the Year.
Okay, but he was, you know, in the top, definitely in the top three. And he's in
the top three. Good, but the Celtics started off very rough.
Yeah,
they started off very rough. They were a second half team, and you know, the Suns were just great from the jump. But yeah, he was in the top two, top three. Finishing, but it's just like,
it's nasty.
You know what's the nasty part about it? It's not even the hiring. The nasty part is how fast it moved. It went from Steve Nash is fired to like 20 minutes later, oh, I wouldn't be shocked if Ime Udoka gets some consideration. And of course,
the Nets are doing their due diligence. Yeah, this right, like 5 minutes after the nigga got fired, it's like, all right, okay, we see what.
And then like an hour and a half later, oh, it's pretty much a done deal. This is gonna move pretty quick. So they basically was like, yeah, we did our due diligence 20 minutes. Like, oh, he only fucked somebody's wife? Oh, that ain't shit. Come on, nigga.
My wife ain't gonna do that. Go get him.
Yeah, like, I ain't worried about that. So that's pretty much what it was like. Now, from a basketball perspective, we just talking about basketball. It's a great move basketball-wise. Like, I think that he can hold this team accountable and do what he has to do to, you know, to move them to the next level with all the talent that they have. I think it's a great basketball move. But it's just nasty optics here for the Brooklyn Nets. And I'm just glad. I've been trying to tell y'all since – for years now. I was saying it back in the bubble when niggas was just acting because Adam Silver put Black Lives Matter on the court that this nigga was fucking Mandela. And I was like, stop falling for the bullshit. All these fucking leagues are ain't shit. And I'm just glad y'all finally coming to the conclusion of what I've been saying.
It's nasty. I'm gonna leave it at that. You know, but I mean, it's something we've all known with these leagues, so it's not a shock. It's just like, okay, well, you know, you see the play, you see how that happens. So
exactly. Now, I mean, it's really not too much I have to say else on them. I mean, they still got to play ball and see what happens.
Yeah, the team is still ass. Like
the team is still team is still ass.
Ben Simmons forgot how to play basketball. You know, I granted he was off 15 months, but he's out there lost. So that's something they definitely got to turn around and get where his headspace is at. Like, and I think it ain't a lot. It's rare that I say some of the shit ain't fair to Ben, but like that one play when Kyrie was like, shoot it, Ben. It's like Giannis standing in his face. Chris Middleton's on his back. Like, yeah, he would have got his shit beaten to the fifth floor. that was not a good shot for him to take. But overall, you know, you still see the passiveness on offense, and he still hasn't been contributing the way the Nets need him to be. Because, I mean, if he could be the old Ben Simmons, like legit the old Ben Simmons, bro, he ain't got to – if he don't improve, nothing. But just play great defense and facilitate, one nigga, be a good screener, like – the Nets will take that, but he's not even doing that right now.
He's not doing shit. He ain't doing nothing but getting fits off on the bench. You know, and this nigga fumbled Maya Jama. So I think we got to put that into perspective too, of just how bad this nigga has been, time this nigga's been having. Like, you can't fumble her. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and they just get married?
They just got engaged, you know. She back in the streets now, according to the gram.
hate to see it.
Hey, you hate to see it. And so, you know, so let's just get into this Kyrie thing, man. So, you know, I'm going to give the floor to you. You wanted to talk about this nigga, and I'll just chime in with points I have.
I mean, Kyrie Irving is a prime example of when, like, people have been abusing the term First Amendment, like free speech, like really just abusing it. And it's like, yeah, you have a right to say what you want to say. But first of all, the actual First Amendment says you have the right to say what you want to say without government interference. So the government is not snatching these niggas off the court. So y'all got to stop with that. That's his right to say anything. That's not what we're talking about here. It's the uninformed comments you are making and spreading around to people. When you have a platform of millions of people who follow you, like, and like, yeah, you have your own opinions. You can believe what you want. I don't care if you believe we the original Jews. Like, that's what y'all want to do. Y'all can do that. But to post some silly ass shit like that, and then when people just act, like, first of all, most of the questions people asked about it, they weren't even like pressing them hard about it. They were just like, yo, how, you know, you posted this, how you feel? And he was just super defensive, like just backpedaling, like off rip. So it's like, come on, bro. This shit is getting silly. And like, you know, I was thinking about this earlier, like it's fucked up, but like some players make you understand why people say just shut up and dribble, Drake. Like, it's like if you're not saying, you know, something that's added, something of substance that's adding to the conversation, you really shouldn't be talking. Like, there's nothing wrong with people saying that you shouldn't be talking. And I think like it's official to say that Kyrie is one of those people, too. We can put him in that category of people. Like, first of all, like when people talk about they don't read books and shit, like, that should be a number one. Just, all right, we're not gonna listen to this. We're not gonna take you serious, bro. You say what you got to say and get the fuck out of here. But as far as Kyrie, this shit is kind of ridiculous. I don't know what the Nets are gonna do because you can't trade Kyrie. Like,
nobody's trading assets for that nigga, man.
Nobody, you can't move him, so you're stuck with Kyrie. So you really need this Udoka thing to, you know, spark this team, because right now they go at 2-5. They're terrible. And you know, most of the roster, Joe Harris has not been hitting shots at all. They're still waiting on Curry to come back, but it's ugly in Brooklyn right now, G. And for Kyrie, G, it's crazy how this story has turned over the years. Like, yeah, the shit is legit insane to see from him and Bron winning the ring in Cleveland to where they are now and the way it's going now. That shit is really insane, G. And
him and also the rapper from Chicago who will not be named. It's both have had just an incredible falls from grace. Both of them are supreme idiots. You know, it's just I don't even know much more to say about this nigga. I'm just fucking fed up. Like, I missed when Kyrie was just a flat earther. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Yeah, we could have took that.
I would have took that, but this other shit. And it's just like, bro, and this is one thing I wasn't gonna actually talk this on any platform since we're talking about it now. I'm tired of talking about this nigga. But one thing, it wasn't even a thing that what Kyrie and Kanye have been saying have definitely been pissing me off, but it's the amount of people who I follow or people that I respect who I see agreeing with these stupid motherfuckers. That's the shit that's been like alarming to me. And I think us as black people, we need to understand, I'm getting to my preaching bag right here. Us as black people, I understand that we're upset that we're at the bottom of the totem pole. I get it. I wish that, you know, we rallied together as a people when people would say stuff about us. I wish that if you said something about black people, there's automatically a problem and you're going to lose your money and things like that happen in business. I wish that was the case. Unfortunately, that is not the case. You can be mad about that without being racist to other groups, because now you're just being like racist white folks. You're putting, you know, there's evil, there's all types of evil people, whatever type of race. And now you're saying this for an entire race that they're just bad people because of we're angry and taking our anger and putting up on other people. Two wrongs don't make a right. And I think that's something that has not been going over on social media the last 2 weeks. Two wrongs do not make a right. And it's just crazy shit to me when I see black people doing that. That just doesn't make any sense.
Shit is sad. Like, you should never take on the identity of your oppressor. And that's what a lot of niggas do.
Yeah.
Like you said, the same treatment we've gotten over the years, we just spread that around, not realizing that it's poor people in other races, bro. Yeah. Like they just it under the, you know, under us. Obviously, our treatment is completely different. Let's be clear.
Let's be very clear.
The treatment we've been getting. But at the same time, when you just paint with that broad brush, it ain't getting you nowhere. Like,
yeah,
it ain't getting you nowhere at all.
And it's like, well, it's been a conspiracy. They're trying to get them out. When you say stupid shit, shit happens to you. It's just, they're just more unified than we are. It is what it is. And you just got to accept that situation for what it is and be focused on what we can do to bring more prosperity and more love to our people instead of spewing hate at other races. That's the shit that we need to do. And it's stupid shit. And it's also from another perspective. You got some black people who get money and they start looking down on niggas who don't got money. And it becomes a classism thing. Well, black people want to be white people, and that type of shit has to stop. That's really my only comment on Kanye and Kyrie. I'm honestly tired of talking about both of them stupid ass niggas. Like, they don't. Kanye's music was never good enough for you to excuse the shit he does. Kyrie Irving is not that great of a basketball player to excuse the shit that he does. Like, there's no, just because you're a black person, especially Kanye, when he's the nigga that said that slavery was a choice, he don't give a fuck about niggas.
He don't read books.
He don't. That nigga don't read books. Neither one of these niggas read books.
But Kanye, but that's my thing with Kanye. He said it for years, and nigga said, I don't like to read books. I live life. So if you don't read books, when you come with all these facts you think you dropping, bro, it's like, nigga, no. Like, no. Like, this, he has some of the easiest right-wing talking points you can find on Facebook.
Yeah.
That just take one or two Googles and it's like, okay, this ain't true.
Yeah.
But like that's the type of information he's taking and running with. But like you said, talking about the platforms, that's the real issue. Obviously, you can say what you want to say, but you're not free of ridicule when you say dumb shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what the First Amendment means, my nigga. And when y'all have these platforms and y'all spread this type of shit, it's like, y'all not helping us like at all.
Yeah, and you got this people as dumbasses who look up to you. Kyrie Irving is considered a veteran in that locker room. Kyrie ain't like a 3-4 year nigga anymore. Has he been in the league, what, 12 years? 11, 12 years. He got drafted the year after LeBron went to Miami. He's a veteran. So you don't want one of your veterans doing shit like that. I mean, even see the NBA PA put out a press release today. They even mentioned Kyrie's name. It's like Kyrie is the vice president of the NBA PA. It's just shit like that. And it's also like Kyrie's one of them people where they say wild shit, and then when you challenge them on wild shit, they want to get all defensive. This last nigga on planet Earth, you'll hear me cape for, is Nick fucking Friedel. But when he was asking him a regular, if you're going to put shit out there, you're going to get questions. That's the media's job. Like, you're just trying to get a click. Move on. Like, all the media ain't out to get you, my nigga. That's the and I don't know why some players think the media wake up like, you know what? I'm going to get a clip today. Like, niggas ain't thinking that. They're trying to do their fucking job for the most part. You know what I'm saying? He got defensive with him last year when he argued about the damn vaccine. And he said, well, I'm not promoting it. How am I promoting it? You're a nigga. You're a public figure. And he has, I don't know, a couple million Twitter follow. So yes, by default, you're promoting that shit. And then he doubled down, was like, yeah, I'm not talking about this, but he was right. Like, what kind of shit are we doing here? So it's just like all together, it's just a messy situation. I don't know what the hell the Nets are going to do. Obviously, I feel like they're going to keep him because that's one of the reasons they brought you Udoka in, to say we need to see what we can get out of these motherfuckers. And from a basketball perspective, you know, we know how great of a defense the Celtics played last year. And maybe Udoka can help them on the defensive end, which is really the Nets' biggest problem is the defensive end, and they don't run no type of offense. Maybe he can help with that. But besides that, and the thing about the Nets, like, okay, is this thing 1 week with Kyrie? You don't know what the fuck it'll be for a month from now. He's just unpredictable. Anything can happen with this nigga. He's not worth the fucking headache. He's just not.
Yeah, but like you said, the production has not been worth the product, the headache, like you said, for a very long time. So it's going to be interesting to see how that team reacts and how Brooklyn goes on throughout the season. Because at the end of the day, you know, we always say, you know, good basketball is going to just quiet all of that shit. But are they going to actually start hooping? Because they haven't been at all.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So let's move on to we talk about teams that got a slow start. We brought up the Nets and things of that nature. I got the standards right here right now. Nets are currently 12th in the Eastern Conference, 2-5. Now, obviously, this is 2 weeks in. Nobody really gives a damn about stat standards, but the Nets are 2-5. We got the Miami Heat, who are 2-5. You know, the Sixers starting off slow. Sixers are 4-4. Over on the West Coast, man, the Warriors, the champs not looking good early. They're 3-4. The team that I cover, the Clippers, I mean, I know they won last night, and Paul George had an amazing game, but I still don't like the way these niggas play. They're 3-4. They got some injury concerns right now. I'm actually very concerned about Kawhi. Finally met Kawhi the other day, though, by the way. He acts just like how you think he acts. He's just he didn't look like he didn't want to be there, right? Like,
so he's just aloof, like, yeah.
Yeah, he just aloof. On Sunday, I said, hey, what's up, Kawhi? How you doing, man? And he just like kept walking in the fucking hallway, like, but yeah. They don't the Kawhi, they saying that he's been having this pain in his knee. They hoping it's not structural. He's not gonna be on a road trip. They're supposed to go to Houston and San Antonio this week. So maybe he plays on Sunday against Utah. I don't know. You gotta watch some of that. Paul George's has not been starting off well, but he's starting. He had a really good game last night, so hopefully that gets him rolling. But I'm very concerned about the Kawhi thing. And then also, you know, look at the Nuggets. The Nuggets are not starting off well. Nuggets only 4-3. Now, it's early. A lot of things can change. Out of these six teams I just named, which one do you have legitimate concerns about, even if it's only, you know, 2 weeks to the season?
The Clippers. Cause like, I mean, the Heat, I didn't take the Heat as like serious championship contenders anyway. The Warriors would be fine. The Sixers, that just depends on the health of your two superstars. And you know, I still think that team would be okay playing in the East. But I think if there's an issue with Kawhi, you really got a problem. Like, no matter how much depth that team has, you know, banking on Paul George to stay healthy ain't the greatest thing right now.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It hasn't worked out in your favor over the last few years. So if there's actually something wrong with Kawhi, because, you know, when you see him miss X amount of games in a row, that's not
low management. It'll be six games by the time Sunday heck rolls around.
Yeah, like, that's not low management. Like, something wrong with bro.
Yeah.
So that's the team I'm most concerned about.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm definitely most concerned about them too. You know, especially being around the team and, you know, just seeing how they've been playing. They've been playing real uninspired. I think the problem with the Clippers is they have a lot of players who do the same things. And they don't shoot well enough to three to play the level of transition defense that they play, the terrible transition defense. Like, the Rockets was getting way too many, you know, looks, way too many fast breaks. It's ridiculous. And so, you know, I think they need to move on from Marcus Morris. I don't know who the hell would take him, but Marcus Morris, I don't see what the hell he brings to the team. He airballed a shot with like a minute and 45 last night, and they were down six. I thought they were going to lose until Paul George turned up. Now, you shouldn't.
And that was a terrible ass shot, bro. The shot Paul George shot?
Both shots he made. The three to tie the game was a bad shot. The fadeaway shot was a bad shot. And by my theory, he saw the glory because they played the Bulls. And by the way, I am boycotting that. That should be played in any stadium that's not United Center. Y'all got to stop. Y'all know who trademarked that shit is. But they were playing that music. He saw the glory. He let the clock go all the way down. He thought he was MJ. But it's just, it's concerning. And like you said, Paul George, yeah, he healthy now, nigga. Yeah, give it time, you know. And if you're having problems with Kawhi's knee already, and he's only played, what, like 2-3 games, and he was coming off the bench in those games, that's an issue. And, you know, the good thing to have a really good coach in T. Lou, he's a really good coach. He'll be able to put this thing together. But if you have championship aspirations, which is what they have, that's the reason they signed Kawhi Leonard, the reason why they paid Paul George, traded for Paul George, and then eventually paid Paul George, because you want to trade. I mean, you want to win a championship. But if you don't have a team put together, it's going to be fucking hard, especially in that Western Conference. And that's something I'm really concerned about, because it's like they're going up against bad teams. Like, it's not like these niggas is like, you know, losing to like the Warriors or some shit like that. Niggas had 2 15-point leads in the game against the Lakers, blew both of them. You know, they had a 10-point lead last night against the Rockets, and that shit went away in like 30 seconds. The defense is a problem, man. So them the ones I have the biggest concern about. I'm with the Nets. I won't say I'm concerned, because I don't think highly of them to fucking begin with, and I treat the Miami Heat the same way. Sixers, I think regular season wise they will be fine. Regular season wise they have the weapons to get through the regular season. I still don't believe they'll come play all time. The Warriors are the champions. They'll be fine. There's not even an iota of me that feels any concern with the Golden State Warriors. And the Nuggets are still implementing 2 players who weren't healthy last year, with Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. It's going to take some time to get those guys back into a rhythm. So really, it's just down to the Clippers for me as far as like my actual concern. And I didn't have this on a rundown, but the Lakers might be worse than I thought they were. This is not a good basketball team. It took 3 great games from LeBron, AD, and Russ for them to barely beat the Nuggets. And they did their best to Jack. They were up like 13 with like 3 minutes left. That was a 6-point game with like a minute and a half left. So it's just bad. If I'm Fred Vogel, I'll be like, see, what the fuck I tell y'all? It wasn't just me.
Oh, yeah, no, their team's going to be terrible. Like, I think 38 games is being generous just because they got Bron on their team. But the typical AD insane fall is coming soon, so. You know, he finds a way to fall in the worst ways. You know, Damian talk about this shit all the time. It's like he's good for 1 or 2 a game where you hold your breath. It's like, oh, yep. This nigga, okay. So, I mean, like you said, you don't have shooting. You don't play great. Well, they okay on defense, ain't they?
They're okay on defense, but they can't.
You can't score. The offense is so bad. The offense is all-time bad. I think, like, at one point, like, Pat Bev and Nunn was like 1 for 22 or something crazy. Like, bro couldn't really buy a bucket. But, you know, I think, you know, as they start to play together, we'll still see that this team, just talent-wise, there's just not enough talent on this team. And as much as we love LeBron, as much as we know the talent LeBron possesses.
Y'all love LeBron.
I mean, just as a basketball player.
I cannot wait till this nigga is gone.
There's only so much he can do. And so, expecting him to carry that load at this age, I think, just sit back and enjoy him getting his accomplishments, because the Lakers ain't finna do nothing.
As a basketball fan and media member, it's like, oh, it's tough on LeBron. As a LeBron James hater that I am in my core, I'm enjoying every fucking minute of this. I get to see LeBron still play well, but they not winning. And I get to see Aaron Rodgers fail. This is my heaven. I've been waiting for this for a decade and a half, nigga. It's finally here.
And like, it's times you'll watch the Lakers game, like, who the hell is on the floor with this?
No,
man?
I've done that multiple times.
Who is out here? And that's not because we're not paying attention. It's just because of just basically saying, you know, the caliber of player they've put around him. And Rob Pelinka got an extension. I'm gonna say it every time.
Man, white privilege.
How?
White privilege.
On what planet, G? Like, Genie just.
Here's a serious question. What's the difference between Genie Buss and Hal Stein, bro? Exactly.
Nothing.
One is a man, one is a woman. That's the difference between the two.
Because Hal got a ring in what, 2010?
29, his first year on the job.
Yeah.
No, second year on the job. And when did the boss die? The boss died in 2008. Did George Steinbrenner die? I think George Steinbrenner died in 2008.
Oh, look it up.
So I don't remember if he was on, but I know that was like Hal's first or second year on the job. But I think George
2010.
Oh, he died in 2000. Okay, so he saw the last Yankee championship. George Steinbrenner saw. So even though it was Hal's first and second year, you know that the boss was in his ear, like, yo, sign Mark Teixeira, sign AJ Burnett, sign Cece Sabathia. You know what I'm saying? Like, since he's died, what has Hal Steinbrenner done? What is that Jeannie don't know what the hell she's doing outside her last name being Bus? Like, you think her daddy will allow this shit?
Yeah, they are milking the money machine. Like, they don't have that same tenacity that they parents had in terms of, because, you know, that was their bread and butter. So, like, it's like, no, we're going to win. And, you know, Steinbrenner, I believe Steinbrenner made his money in real estate, like most MLB owners.
Like Jerry Buss.
Yeah. And so, but they had a knack for winning, and they recognized the talent, not only the talent, they recognized the product that they had, the place that they had. And it's like, okay, we can maximize all of this. And they kids are more so like, let's just keep the cash registers ringing. You know, if we win, we win. Like, the Lakers got that bubble championship. Gina was probably like, whew, all right, I got one thing over my brothers. They never won a ring. They wouldn't know shit. But
the streets is looking at that ring like, counterfeit. Yeah. Counterfeit. And it's like, with her, it's like, you know, this, she got to be on her fourth or fifth coach since she's taken over. Yeah. It's been a couple of them coaches, man. And it's just not a good thing, but I don't feel sorry for either one of these fan bases. First of all, both of y'all fucking spoiled. Let's start there. Both of y'all fucking spoiled to fucking begin with. And two, I don't know if anybody met Yankee or Lakers fans. 9 times out of 10, they're the same person. Very annoying people. Very annoying people. So I have zero sympathy for them. But there's a lot of bad basketball played on Figueroa right now. A lot of bad basketball being played. You know, the highlight of the last two Clipper games I went to was the amazing food spread they had the last two games. Breakfast was very on point on Sunday morning. That's all I can say about them LA basketball teams, man. But let's talk about one team that is firing all cylinders, and that is the Milwaukee Bucks. They are the only undefeated team in the NBA right now, 6-0. And Giannis, man, Giannis to me, of course, we all know Giannis is the best player in the NBA, but at this point, it's at the point where it don't even look like it's close. Like, I think there's such a big gap between him and the second best player in the league right now that is crazy. And just through his first, seven games, he's averaging 33 points, shooting 58% from the field, averaging 12 rebounds and almost 6 assists. Like, you just look at these numbers, you know, 21, 44, 43, 30, 34, 31. It's ridiculous. He's killing right now.
He continues to play great help side defense and, you know, fits into that scheme perfectly. So I'm with you, bro. He's definitely the best player in the league. And I think Milwaukee is a team that, you know, health permitting down the stretch, will be able to compete for a championship. And I think, like you said, with Giannis, we always want your superstars to come back every year with something new to their game or some type of polish from their game. And he's one of the players you can definitely tell. He works. He puts in the work in the offseason. He wasn't just sitting around. We saw him playing in the World Cup, whatever tournament that was, where he was dropping like 50 on people every game. But, you know, I think there's somebody who, like you said, this year, even though we talk about voter fatigue, how can you not give him the MVP if they're the one seed, if he's putting up numbers like this? I think it's one of those situations.
And this is all without Chris Middleton.
His talent is overweighing everything. It's like, you gotta give it to him.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're doing all this about Chris Middleton. He has yet to play a game. It looked like just good basketball for them right now. And the thing about Giannis is, you know, you're gonna bust your ass and he's gonna tell a dad joke at the podium. Like, you know, he talks shit like every other player. But I know some people call his fake humbleness. No, that's real humbleness, nigga. Like, you could tell Giannis is like very sincere about his whole little come up. And that's one of the things I love.
Yeah, definitely, bro. Like you said, he's enjoying the game of basketball, growing with the game as he gets older. You know, as somebody who was drafted at, I think he was 19. But
yeah, I think so too. Yeah,
bro. So it's great to see him continue to add to his skill set. And the sky's really the limit. Because God forbid he starts shooting it at a decent clip. And it's really what you're gonna do.
He's a better 3-point shooter than Anthony Davis. And I don't know what this says more about Giannis or Anthony Davis.
If you're the lethal shooter, bro, they might fire your ass. The Lakers went out and got bro, and AD is shooting 20% from three. It's like, just play the five, dog. Play the five. What are you doing?
Every time AD makes a play, like, he grabs a body part. Like, even in the game against the Nuggets, I think, like, Michael Porter Jr. got a shot blocked, And by the way, all you Bulls fans who's mad drafted, I told y'all niggas, like, look, I don't think Michael Porter Jr. is a good player. But the nigga gets hurt all the time. You should have known he walked up them draft day steps and he was grabbing his fucking back what time it was. That's one of the things I just never lost sleep on, man. But they're looking great. The Bucks are looking great. And Giannis, man, it's just kind of cool to see his growth, because I remember when he played the Bulls in his first playoff series in 2015?
Yeah.
I didn't see this shit coming. Shout out to the homie Sean. Sean told me this in 2015 during the Bulls season. I'm telling you right now, Giannis is going to be one of the best players in the games, one of the best players in the game in like 5 years. I was like, this skinny motherfucker? No way. I did not see it whatsoever. But he is just like exceeded expectations, and he's getting better. That should be the scary part, and he's getting better. And the Milwaukee Bucks better not take him for granted, because I think that you can see from even the words he said over the last year, he's going to keep pressing to keep a good team. Chris Middleton's going to be a free agent coming up this year. And I think just how they're going to be able to jump back and get another, you know, how the team looks next year is going to decide on what Giannis wants to do going forward. You know, he's still in the prime of his career. So I think that's something that's going to, you know, I'm really interested to see how that's going to move around. There's another team that's hot that I didn't put on here too, but I was looking at the standings. Cleveland Cavaliers, man. The Cleveland Cavaliers 5-1 right now. They're doing really, really well even without Darius Garland. Darius Garland got injured in the first game of the season. Donovan Mitchell's been killing it. You know, him and Caris LeVert had like 72 points combined in Boston over the weekend. You know, both of us, we both had Cleveland like as our sixth seed, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. What do you think about their hot start, you know, going forward and doing all this without Garland?
I mean, definitely outpacing what everybody said. But, you know, Donovan Mitchell is a dynamic player. And a lot of the, you know, what ifs and a lot of the questions people had was if, you know, Utah was really utilizing them right. And, you know, him and Rudy Gobert, how that wasn't working. And so having him in a system where he's comfortable, where he's enjoying himself, you're starting to see the results. So when Garland comes back, you say it's going to be interesting to see what that basketball team does, because they can really turn up.
Yeah, I'm just mad they're in my division. Having to deal with Giannis and a good Cleveland Cavaliers team. That's just a big-ass team, too, man. That's a big-ass team. And, you know, I was looking at, you know, you got the Blazers have a hot start. I think the Blazers is like 5-1 right now. I do like what I'm seeing from Simons. He's looking good. My thing about the Blazers, I never get excited about the Blazers, because they're eventually going to flame out. It's the Blazers' way. Eventually, I mean, Dame already hurt. Dame yeah. already hurt.
I'm about to say, like, the Blazers usually make the playoffs when Dame is healthy. But if he continues to get banged up, and I don't see it for him. So, like you said, it's a cool start. You know, I'm more impressed with Lauri Markkanen and how he's been hooping out in Utah, and just further proof that the Bulls player development system is some shit. And I think that's what people don't realize when we talk about players who move on from the Bulls and are playing better. It's like, you know, that was possible here, but for some reason, our player development just don't click, and it really hasn't in a very long time. So,
I mean, he even looked serviceable when he was in Cleveland. Like,
exactly.
You know, he even looked serviceable when he was in Cleveland. Now, I know, Bulls fans say whatever about the Vooch story. I still don't lose sleep over Wendell Carter Jr. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't. You know, I'm just saying in general.
I get the pick landed Mo Wagner. I get all that. I don't lose sleep over that shit. You do that trade. Actually, Vooch has been playing pretty well. Now, the Bulls got 41-41 written all over them niggas. And we'll get into deep detail on that on third pick. But them niggas got 500 written all over them. But Vooch has been doing pretty well. His contract year Vooch, I would not pay that nigga. But his contract year Vooch, and he's looked good. But on the Magic side, too, I love what I'm seeing from the Rook, Paolo. That nigga's hooping right now. He's hooping. You know what I'm saying? And they're becoming one of those league pass teams where if I see the Orlando Magic playing tonight, I don't instantly be like, nigga, I'm not watching this. I might watch to come in and see how the Rook's looking. And even Detroit is looking like a team that they're not going to make the playoffs or the play-in, but they're not an easy win no more. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if the Bulls split the series with the Pistons.
Yeah. Typical bullshit. That's very, very funny.
Typical bullshit. No pun intended, man. But I think that's all we got for y'all today, man. You know, these early season pods, it's not too much to get into, man. But I think that's all we got. Was there anything you want to go over before we get up out of here?
No, that's it, bro. Like you said, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Definitely make sure y'all tune in to the rest of the network. Got a lot of good shit we still got coming for y'all.
A lot of good shit. I just want to say I took basically a week off last week, and a lot of y'all wouldn't allow me to take the week off. I had people texting me about what's up with the pods. People tweeting us, what's up with the pods. Nigga, I can't take a break. I cover two sports teams. I gotta record all these other pods, and I got regular life shit going on. Let me breathe for a couple days. That's all I asked for. But I am back. We're back. Summer Sessions will be back this week. I'm not gonna hold you back this week. All stuff going on. I'm doing a Clippers beat, of course. This week will be the last Bears game that I'm gonna miss. In general, I'll be at every game for the rest of the year after this Dolphins game. They actually give me some stuff to watch on the offensive side of the ball. If you want to know more about that, check out the new 79th and Hollis right now, man. But you know to follow us on Twitter at Barbershare Scott, at October Zone Tay. Follow the Barbershare Network at Barbershare Net on Twitter and Instagram. Visit the Patreon. Subscribe. Patreon.com/Barbershare Network. You got all different packages for you to check out. Visit the BCNet.com right now. And also, the Barbershare Shop is coming soon. I know I've been saying that for a couple months, but it really is coming soon. We're going to get it to y'all by the top of 2023. I promise you. Look out for that, man. So we'll holler at y'all in 2 weeks, man. We out of here.